Good morning. I welcome you to Gates Presbyterian Church on this summer morning. I extend a special welcome to all of you returning college students that I see sitting out there, other folks returning, and also the members of the Guatemala mission team that are here with us today. So we welcome you too. We have several announcements. Gary?
Good morning. I once had a teacher that would say, "Speak now or forever flunk your test." Same concept goes with the Red Wings tickets. Today is the last day if you want to get tickets for the July 5th game. It's going to be fun. The RPO is scheduled to play. There's fireworks. I'll be outside after service, and come get your tickets.
A Clinker Bricks race is this Saturday, and we're critically short on volunteers at this point. So please help my anxiety levels come down and either sign up on the kiosk or see me or Tracy or call the church office. But please, anything. We need people to wave orange flags for an hour and a half. It's not a big deal. Thanks.
Also back on the kiosk is the summer music sign-up for those who will be doing specials, and I'm pleased to see that July is filled up, but there are still several slots available in August. If at this point you haven't signed up, but you're considering possibly doing some special music for us, I'd love to see you sign up for one of those spots. I think there are three left, so hope to see those filled soon.
Following the service this morning, we'd like to have your handy hands making pom-poms for our float that's on the Saturday for the parade for the Bicentennial of Gates. And we'll also have something for you to eat if you can hang around long enough. So we'll see you there.
Let us now prepare ourselves for worship. Please stand, if able, for the call to worship. This is God's world. To us is given a vision of nations and races, lands and people joined together through God's love. We affirm that in Christ that we can be and are one world, one family, working together to share God's love. Let us rejoice, for we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love.
Let us recite responsively the prayer of confession. God of wholeness, we confess that we need you to melt the clouds of sin and drive the gloom of doubt away. We have built up dividing walls and dug trenches. We have drawn lines in the sand and have not allowed others to cross. We have kept some people in, but kept others out. Forgive us for our dividing ways, loving God. Heal us from our wounds of division. Comfort us when we have been left out. Call us into accountability when we have been the ones who have pushed others out. Live in the margins, across the boundaries, out of our comfort zone, to be the body. A moment for silent prayers of confession. We are beloved children of God. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Praise be to God. Thank you.
invite the children forward. Good morning. Are you on summer vacation now? School over? Yeah, good. That's good news, huh? A little time to relax. You know, this morning in worship, we're going to do something very special. We're going to commission a group of folks to do God's work in Guatemala. Guatemala is a tiny country. I'm going to show you. You know where it is? Right here. It's right between Mexico and Honduras. It may be small, but it's very beautiful. There are mountains and seaside and lots of nice people. But unfortunately, some sad things have happened in Guatemala through the years. They've had wars, they've had earthquakes, they've had hurricanes. And because people have struggled in Guatemala, all families don't have enough money to buy the things their family needs, like school supplies. So we're going to ask the group that's going to Guatemala to take some school supplies to the children in Guatemala. We've been collecting those supplies the last few weeks. But we need your help. You know what I need you to do? Pack this suitcase. So can you take these school supplies and put them in the suitcase, and we're going to ask these folks to take them to Guatemala. Will you do that for us? All right. Excellent. Good. No, you can't have my kids. Yeah, you're doing a good job. Keep at it. There's some more. Wow. I want you to pack for me the next time I go anywhere. Outstanding. You got it all in. Good job. Anybody want to zip it? Okay, here. You can do it both. There are two zippers. Here, you can try this one. Okay. Okay. Good job. I think you got it. That's okay. You can, Alex, you can do it that way. That's right. All right, now here, you want to take it over to Mr. Ward? Anybody? Abby? You're used to seeing him back there, aren't you? Good job. All right, let's have a prayer together. Loving God, we pray for the children in Guatemala. May they know that there are children in Gates who care for them. Amen. Thanks for your help. You may go back to your families.
The first reading of the word is Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is therein, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord.
The second reading this morning is from Galatians 3. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. An old and very wise rabbi gathered his students around him. With a twinkle in his eye, he asked the young men, "How do you know the moment when the night is over and the day has arrived?" The students looked at each other. They were puzzled. Why was this old man asking them such a simple question? Finally, one brave student dared to answer, "Rabbi, night is over and day arrives when you can see a house in the distance and you're able to determine if the house is yours or your neighbors." "No," the rabbi growled. But the student's answer gave another student the courage to speak up. "Night is over and day has arrived when you can see an animal in the field and you can determine whether that animal belongs to you or whether it belongs to your neighbors." The rabbi continued to shake his head, clearly irritated. And he begins to shout, "No, no, no, no! Why, students, must you see the world only in terms of separations, only in terms of division?" He took a deep breath. And he calmed down just a little bit. "My students, night is over and day arrives when you look into the face of another human being and you see that you're looking at your brother and you see you are looking at your sister. Day arrives when you see that you belong to each other, that you are one. Then and only then will you know that night has ended and day has arrived." Perhaps you've heard this rabbinic story. Perhaps I've even told it before in a sermon. Perhaps Even the Apostle Paul knew this story. For it's one of those great pieces of rabbinic literature, rabbinic wisdom, that has drawn people to the heart of God for generations. Indeed, to the sacred conviction that God creates us to live in harmony. We hear the same sacred wisdom in the words of Paul's passionate letter to the Galatians. And I quote, "There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Jesus Christ." Paul sent this letter to his church in Galatia. These early Christians lived in a Roman province, and they were faced with some pretty challenging issues both inside and outside their church family. As Melissa talked about last week, this young church was composed of Jewish Christians and Greek Christians. The folks on the Jewish side of the aisle, they believed that Jesus was the promised Messiah for whom their ancestors had longed. These faithful folks thought that believing in Christ was the natural progression of Judaism. But across the aisle, the Greek Christians were just getting used to the one God concept, as they had walked away from Zeus, Athena, Apollo, and so many more gods. The Jewish members of the new church were convinced that their ancient traditions were the right and only path to God. After all, they knew the truth. This God of Abraham had been the center of their lives for generations. However, to their complete horror, the Greek church family members really could have cared less about their many holy laws. They took that whatever kind of an attitude. Whatever, whatever. If hunks of meat touch milk in my stew, I'm eating it anyway. Really? I think potluck suppers in this early church were more like war zones than fellowship zones. No doubt about it. Paul had his hands full, and I really appreciate the way he boldly addresses these multicultural challenges that stare him in the face. The Galatians were simply just not getting it. They just didn't understand that a new order was born into the world on that holy night in Bethlehem. And to be honest, I think we continue to struggle with this new order today. For we, like the students of the rabbi, still separate our world: conservative, liberal, gay, straight, city, suburbs, east side, west side, Democrat, Republican, rich, poor, third world, first world, black, white, men, women, old, young, on and on and on, educated, uneducated, evangelical, progressive, traditional, non-traditional, the list is endless. Endless. We slice and we dice, and we miss the whole point of the new creation given to us through Jesus. Competition makes our economic system work. Checks and balances make our political system work. Competing alliances and sports team even make our entertainment world work. And I think you would agree with me that our systems are good, fundamentally good. And they have created a great country. However, I wonder, has the friction needed to make it all run smoothly, has it had an unintentional byproduct? Separation, division, a me against you mentality. Now, I'm not for one minute suggesting that we dismantle our systems. Not at all. I am suggesting, however, that we duck and we dodge the unintended byproduct and instead intentionally work on what it means to be one in Christ, to live in the new order of Jesus Christ. Mission offers us this opportunity. Indeed, we often think of mission as what we can do for others, and it most assuredly is that. But it is so much more. There is a give and take component to mission. This summer, there'll be 4 GPC mission work teams. The junior highs are going into the city of Rochester. The senior highs are going to Johnson City, New York. This week, adults will travel to Guatemala. And at the end of the summer, adults will travel to Green Island, Jamaica. All these teams will no doubt do amazing work. After all, that's what we do here at GPC. But there is another component to mission. For you see, our mission partners, both here and globally, offer us an opportunity to experience, to even practice the oneness about which the Apostle Paul writes. They provide for us an authentic chance to step beyond what is comfortable and beyond what is familiar. They teach us about life quality. Our global partners offer us the opportunity to be people of justice. For when we truly open ourselves to those whose lives are very different from our own, we experience a change of heart, a personal transformation. God's people become we rather than them. And in fact, we discover our oneness in creation. However, it doesn't take a big mission trip to experience this, but it does take an intentional step out of our comfort zones. And when we dare to do that, we begin to understand ourselves, our neighbors, and our Christ better. Friedrich Niedner tells of a story that illustrates the power of such solidarity. It happened in an old, stable neighborhood in Chicago. On the first night of Hanukkah, a menorah appeared in the window of one of the homes in the neighborhood. In the middle of the night, someone painted a swastika on the front door of the home. Well, that didn't deter the faithful homeowner. The next evening, a second candle shone from the menorah that appeared in his window. As he was lighting it, and as he looked across the street, the man noticed that the home right across the street had a menorah in the window as well. Sadly, the next morning, the second home also had a swastika painted on the front door. On the third evening, 3 candles burned in the window of the first home. And now, menorahs were in the front window of 6 homes up and down the street. But, indeed, the next morning, 6 more swastikas showed up in the neighborhood. By the 4th evening, menorahs beamed light from the windows of homes all around the neighborhood. But when daylight came, joyfully, there were no more additional swastikas painted on doors in the neighborhood. Solidarity had trumped hate. The night had turned into the day, in the words of the rabbi. We are called to a new way of living, one in which we turn toward God's children, learning from them, celebrating our oneness with them. It's an adventure indeed, but it's a holy adventure for sure. Amen. And now I'd like to invite the Guatemala mission team forward. Ask Tom to introduce this great team to you.
Well, it's especially a great joy to introduce our friends from Batavia Presbyterian Church who got up early this morning to join us. And we have Tammy Underhill. We won't talk about these three, four. This is Emerson Campbell. Emerson's 80, and he's been traveling all around the world, and he just got back recently from a trip to France. So we're looking forward to having him on here, on board. This is Judy Tompkinson, Kay Federley, and Ron Hallman. Ron's wife, Uta, is coming with us as well, but they're in the process of selling their house, so they've got somebody coming to look at that. The other characters here, I'm sure you know, Bev Switzer, Tiffany Switzer, Andrea Unson, Allison Gilday, and then a friend of mine from RACLA, the Rochester Committee on Latin America, will also be joining us, Lynn Pagage, and she couldn't be with us today either. But while I have the microphone, I'm going to take this opportunity to thank everybody at this church for all your support over the years. Cheryl and Bruce Taylor's leadership at the beginning of this whole thing, Margie McKnight, Gretchen Green, and everyone who supported our fundraisers with the flower sale, the entertainment books, and the donations. You're making this all possible. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Now, if you'll kind of turn around and look at me. On Wednesday, you began your journey to Guatemala, and I must confess, I'm a little bit jealous. Will you open your hearts to the people of Guatemala, listening to their stories and learning from them? If so, please say, I will. Do you promise to serve in cooperation with your colleagues, working, traveling, and praying together? Remember that as you travel, you travel as mission partners with God as your God. If so, please say, I do. Will you seek ways in which you can be a vehicle for God's justice, both while you're in Guatemala and when you return? If so, please say, I will. And members of the congregation, will you promise to pray for these mission travelers while they seek to serve God in Guatemala? And will you listen to their stories when they return? If so, please say, I will. Let us pray. Oh God, we give you thanks that we can be confident that you journey with us, in us, and before us at all times and in all places. Open the hearts and minds of these mission travelers. Open our hearts and minds to their stories upon returning. Amen. Have a great trip, and know that you'll go with our prayers. I invite you now to share your prayers of joy and your prayers of concern.
This is a joy and a blessing. Last Sunday, we were in Kiel, Germany. In the afternoon, Jim was able to tap into your service on our iPad. I cannot tell you how excited I was to hear Jesus Loves Me. The piano work was superb. You guys sang it with gusto. And you, the congregation, were just overjoyed with Thanksgiving. And I just really wanted to let you know how important that was for me to hear. Secondly, Melissa's sermon on justification by faith was outstanding. So we felt really a part of you, even though we were so far away.
Hi, Tracy Berkovich. Just wanted prayers for Jessica, who's en route right now to Wildwood, New Jersey, to attend a Christian conference down there. Three of her friends are also going with her, so it'll be a great bonding time for them. And prayers for one of the dads who's driving the four of them down there. So just safe travels for them down and back, and that they get the most out of the conference possible.
Gretchen Green, I have both thanks and a prayer request. I thank the prayer chain here for their wonderful and timely prayers and all the others that heard. Last Monday, my son was riding his bicycle. A car cut sharply in front of him to go into a driveway. He hit the brakes and pitched over the handlebars. He broke the second cervical vertebrae in his neck. Thanks be to God and to all the prayers. He is not paralyzed or worse. He is in a collar, and so I would like continued prayers for his recovery. But we're just very thankful that he's still with us.
It's in our prayers.
Bridget Wohlers, I'd like prayers for Tim Day. He is the brother-in-law to our aunt. He has been on the top of the heart transplant list for a little while now. His health is deteriorating. He's having pretty major surgery this week to have an assisted device placed, and this is the last option before either transplant or worse. So prayers for Tim and his family, and prayers for the family that may be affected by him finally getting a heart transplant.
Ron Steinmiller, I have two requests, one for kid's grandfather, who's finishing off radiation for skin cancer, and secondly, for a dear college friend who has been battling cancer, and she's in her last few days with us, and I just pray for peace for her.
Joy is for my cousin graduating high school.
Prayers for the hundreds of thousands of people that are affected by the flooding in Calgary, Alberta, including my sister and brother-in-law, who are sort of stranded there until they can find a way to drive out. So quite a natural disaster has happened up there, and a lot of people in the States aren't aware that that's going on. Thank you.
And prayers for the Wall family, who had to cancel their trip because of the flood water.
Peter Derry, prayers for a friend whose mother is losing the race against waiting for a transplant.
Mary.
Mary DeGennaro, I have a joy. My granddaughter graduates from high school.
Absolutely. Congratulations. Let us pray. God of all seasons, we rejoice in the long days of summer. We thank you for the colors of the sunset, the brilliance of the moon this week, and the welcome of each sunrise. We pray for our children and teachers as they begin their long-awaited summer vacation. Grant them adventures in their days, relaxing moments in their schedules, and loving people in their experiences. And we come this morning praying for the Guatemala mission team that leaves this week. We ask that you give them safe travels and keep them healthy. Open their ears to the stories of those they meet. Help them to share their own stories with each other and with their new Guatemalan friends. May they experience being one with you and the people they meet and the experiences they have. And we pray for those we know going through very difficult times, for those waiting for transplants, and those recovering from surgery, for those changing careers, and those who are exploring the next life step after graduation, and for all of those in the midst of major life passages. We ask that you hear us now as we silently pray for our own loved ones. God, hear us now as we pray together the prayer our Lord taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us bring our gifts forward.
Let us say the prayer of dedication responsibly. Use our gifts to bring light and hope to every land and race. Speed us on our way, working for peace, and sharing our joy. God of hope, we pray, go with us every day.
Amen.